But everyone would mute, except for Linda.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, hear, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may live in it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Amen. Mary, Seed of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Entry number 98, June 18th, 1930, volume 28. My daughter, as you reach this point of the creation of man, we feel wounded and have before us the moving scene of how man was created by us. Our love swells, overflows, and runs to find man as he was created by us. Our love is delirious, and in its delirium wants to embrace man, hold him tightly to our bosom, beautiful and holy as when he came forth from our creative hands. And not finding him, our love changes into a delirium of grieving love and longs for him whom it loves so much. Now, you must know that our love was so great in creating man that as soon as he was created, we put him in our divine confines, and we gave him as a little atom the human will immersed in the immensity of the divine will. Reason for which living of the divine will was innate for man, being himself a little atom. Our divinity was saying to him, we are giving you our divine will at your disposal so that the little atom of your human will might feel the need to live of the immensity of the divine will, to grow in its sanctity, to embellish itself with its beauty, and to make use of its light. Seeing himself little, man was feeling happy to live in the confines of our fiat in order to live of our divine qualities. And we were delighted in seeing this little atom of the human will live in our endless confines, in our care. Under our sight, man was growing beautiful and gracious, of a beauty so rare enough to rapt us and make us find our delights in him. But man's happiness and our joys for having created man were brief. This atom of the human will did not want to live of divine will, but of itself. It can be said that man repressed our will to live of his own will. But no matter how hard he tried to get out of our will, he could not find not even a little space where to go, because there is not one single point where our will is not found. Therefore, for as much as man didn't want to live of our will, he didn't have anywhere to go. Therefore, he was staying in our divine fiat. He was living there as if our divine fiat was not there. And man voluntarily was living of his miseries and of the darknesses that he himself was forming. That is the reason for our continuous sighing, that man no longer holds our volition repressed, but rather represses the atom of his own will to live happy and holy, and for us to be able to find in him our delights. Amen, fiat.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Father.
In all these passages that we are reading, the main point is to understand the gift of the divine will as a whole through the life of Adam and Eve. Those lessons of the Blessed Virgin Mary basically is the Blessed Virgin Mary teaching Luisa, forming her to receive the gift of the divine will. And you can see at the end of every lesson, our mother, the Blessed Mother, asked Luisa always for something in exchange for her to bestow upon Luisa the gift of the divine will. And in these writings, this is the point to understand the whole gift of the divine will, so that by understanding that gift, we may understand what we lost, how much God loves us, how we were created in that unity with the will of God, that it was a natural way of living, basically. It's not natural to live only with the human will. Basically, that's unnatural. And this is what our Lord is telling Luisa Picaretta in this passage, that Adam, basically, he voluntarily formed his miseries by his departing from that from that divine will, that he was created as a natural way of living. That was the original plan. And in the Catechism in number 49, basically the church also tells us this in a different way, but basically is the same essence. Let me find this, because I have the wrong version. I have the Spanish one. In 49, this is what the church says. It says, without the creator, the creature vanishes. Without that unity of the human and the divine will, we only encounter miseries. And instead of growing in that likeness with God, then we basically form miseries in us, the opposite. Why? Because the vivifying potency of the divine will is missing in us. The vivifying virtue of the divine will is missing in the human person, in that union of the human will. And at the beginning of this passage, our Lord tells Luisa Picaretta, as you reach this point of the creation of man, we feel wounded. And have before us the moving scene of how man was created by us. We know that Luisa Picaretta is basically doing her rounds here. And as she is praising, adoring, glorifying God, putting her "I love you" in everything. Because remember, this is the way Luisa Picarreta now is praying. She has learned to act as Adam and Eve were acting before the fall. And now she's practicing all this divine doctrine, divine science. Every single day, this is what she's doing. And she arrives to this moment, so that scene before the Divine Majesty, the Lord says, then we see that scene and then our love, we feel our love. How much love we created, basically Adam, how Adam was created with so much love by God. And that love continues to have that delirium. That love has not changed. It continues to have the delirium for men, for all the human race, for all of us, for every single soul. In the Book of Heaven, our Lord reveals to Luisa Picarreta that he loves one soul just as much as he loves all of them together. And he will have become man only if it will be one soul to be saved. Only if it were one soul to be rescued, he will still become man. Because that's how much God loves us. He loves every single soul as he loves all of them together. So that love has not changed. That's why in the letters of St. John, we encounter, and St. John tells us that God is love. Because he understands, John understands that divine love. He was the disciple who was able to advance so much in that union with the will of God, that he was able to understand that. He basically became another Jesus. And we see that at the foot of the cross, that he became basically another Jesus, and that the Lord was able to see in him another image of himself, so that he was able to entrust the Blessed Virgin Mary, his mother, to another Jesus. That's how much St. John was able to advance, and that's how much he was able to advance that the Blessed Mother was able to see in the person of John another Jesus. And this is the same for us. This is the same goal for us, to understand that divine love that in its delirium for all of us wants to embrace each one of us individually and in all the human race at the same time, collectively. Because this gift is for all the human race, but because every one of us has a gift, a human will, every single person has to give his, her gifts, so the divine will can reign in each one of us, so that that love can be put out and be deposited in our souls. And that's the way that divine love is going to be quenched. And that's how the soul also is going to be quenched. The thirst for God is going to be quenched, because this is what God designed for all of us to contain since the beginning, to be filled with this since the beginning. The human will and the divine will mingle together in complete harmony, in complete unity, filling that void in our soul, that longing for God at every moment. So if we understand that, then we understand that when Adam and Eve were created in that unity, they experienced that thirst for God, but also at every moment they were quenched by that thirst. And as they were quenched with that love, they have another feeling of being thirsty for God again. So it was constantly that thirsting for God, and God also quenching that thirst at every moment. That's how he was growing in that likeness. But because it was the love of God acting, love basically had a field of action where to be put and where to flow and where to grow moment by moment. So that love is still is seeking us. This is what our Lord tells also Luisa Picaretta in the Hours of the Passion, that he thirsts for souls. So is the divine love that is thirsty. It wants to be quenched with the human will. So this is our quench for God, excuse me, our thirst for God is quenched with the will of God. And the love of God that thirsts for the creatures is going to be quenched by the human will. You see how generous is God? He gives us his will, which is everything. And he humbles himself, and he basically allows himself to be quenched by the insignificant human will. And if we allow him to give us that divine will as Adam possessed it, which he mentions is a little atom, a little tiny thing. The atom is the smallest part, right? And this is what he possessed. This reminds me a little bit of what the second volume says. That it tells us that there are two ways of receiving the life of God, that God gives himself in two ways to the creatures. And he says the first one is baptism. So we know that baptism is necessary for this way of living, to possess the divine will operating in us. It is necessary for the creature to be baptized, because then we understand that original sin is the absence of God in the creatures, or the presence of God in the creatures. And this is what the Lord says in this passage, basically, that Adam, basically, when he says this atom of the human will did not want to live of divine will. So Adam didn't want to live of divine will. So basically he spelled that life of God that he possessed. And in order for us to live in this way, baptism is essential, is necessary. You cannot possess the will of God operating in you if you are not baptized. Everybody lives in the divine will, even if they are not baptized. In God we live, we move, and we have our being. St. Paul reminds us in the Acts of the Apostles. But here, The goal is not only to live or to do God's will. Here, the goal is to possess the will of God operating in us. And to possess the will of God operating in us, baptism is necessary. So this is what our Lord mentions in the second volume, that that's one way that he gives himself to the creature. And then he says the second way he gives himself to the creature is by depositing a little particle of himself in the creatures, and thus enabling that person to perform miracles. So we know some of the saints that they perform miracles, that this is the gift that they receive. They receive a little particle of who God is, basically of his divine qualities, to be able to raise up the dead, to heal the sick. And the disciples, they receive this gift of being able, this a little particle, to be able to perform miracles in other sense. Adam possessed this gift. Remember that all the gifts that we see in the church, a little particles, they're only little sparks of what Adam possessed. Adam possessed all these things that we, the, all these gifts that we see in the church. In one saying we see one and another we see another gift, different gifts we see in all of them, but Adam possessed all of them together. He was the depositary of the divine will, of that gift. So all these little gifts or graces that we see, they are nothing else but little sparkles, tiny little sparks of what Adam in himself possessed. And even what Adam possessed, it was also a part of who God is. Our Lord mentions here that in order to live for our divine qualities, so he gave him these little particles of his divine qualities. What are the divine qualities in God? Love, wisdom, beauty, truth. There are many that we don't even know. So Adam, in a way, he wasn't virtuous. He didn't have to grow in virtue as we have to grow, because he was created in that unity. He had to grow only in the possession of that of those divine qualities that he was growing. At every moment, we know that he was filled with more light. God is light. And that light made him more beautiful. He was growing in the beauty of God. He knew more. So he was growing in the knowledge. Growing in the knowledge of God. God is all-knowing. So he was growing in the likeness of God. He received love from God. So at every moment he was growing in love, in that virtue, in that divine quality, that divine quality, that little particle that he received, it was growing in him a little by little. Just like the yeast grows, you know, that's why the Lord is able to say in the Gospels, the kingdom of heaven is like a little yeast that a woman put together with flour in a batch of flour and it grow. But when he talks about that parable, he says the kingdom of heaven is like. And the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of the divine will. Because in heaven, everybody is immersed in the will of God. So Adam, he didn't have to grow in virtue. He possessed the divine qualities, a little particles. So they were growing in. So he was growing in at every moment in the knowledge and understanding, in love, in beauty, in truth, in light, everything that God is. And God allowed him, this is what constituted his happiness in Adam. That he was growing in that. This is what constituted also his place in heaven. And don't think that Adam is sitting there just doing nothing. Since he lived in the divine will by a certain period of time, he's exactly doing what the Blessed Mother is doing. He's going around the other saints, basically following the Blessed Mother around all the saints, giving them new showers of joy and light and happiness. In the hours of the Passion, at the end of the, I think it's the at the end of the crucifixion, if I'm not mistaken, it's at the end of the crucifixion, or he said at the end of the third hour, when Luisa Picarreta goes around and she says, "Let me take this blood. Let me take all the blood of Jesus and let me give it to you, Blessed Mother, also, so you may receive new showers of light and joy." And this is exactly what the saints receive in heaven. So since Adam possessed this gift, this is what he's doing also. We understand this through the Book of Heaven. So he is going around with the Blessed Mother and all those who knew the divine will here on earth. He's giving them new showers of joy and happiness to the rest of the saints in heaven. What constituted the happiness of Adam while he possessed that gift? It was that he was growing in those divine qualities. But he himself, he departed from that. When he says this atom of the human will did not want to live of our divine will also. But of itself. So basically Adam, he wanted to be God without God. And this is what we are doing also. The creature wants to live without God. The human will rejects the divine will. And then the Lord says, it can be said that men repress our will to live of his own will. And no matter how hard he tried to get out of our will, he could not find, not even a little space where to go. Because there is not one single point where our will is not found. So he was placed in the possession of the divine will. But since everything is created by the divine will, that's another way to understand that we all live in the divine will. So hopefully you can see the difference between living in the divine will, doing the will of God, and possessing the divine will. When Adam was created in that unity of the divine will, he was created with the possession of the divine will operating in him. He rejected that gift, and then he went from possessing to living. And it is until we receive the Ten Commandments that man learns how to do the will of God. So we are called, we all live in the divine will. We are called to do the will of God, which is to follow the Ten Commandments, that this is the road that leads us to the possession of the divine will. And we can say that once we arrive to the possession of the divine will, then we can say we have arrived home. Man will only be at home if he arrives to the possession of the divine will. And this is what our Lord wants us to possess. He wants to elevate each one of us to the point of origin. And the point of origin is the possession of the hue of the divine will operating in the soul. In a way, it's very simple. If we understand this gift and where the Lord wants to bring us, then I think it will be easier for all of us to move in that way, in our own vocation. Because then we understand that everything that we do will advance us into receiving that gift. And since it was voluntary, it was something that was voluntary, it has to be voluntarily also to go back. Because remember, this device, this gift that the Lord gave us, the divine will, excuse me, the human will, he will never override this gift. He will always respect this gift in us. That's the gift that he gives us. And if we understand that this is what constitutes our miseries, that by going back and by giving our gift, our will to the Lord, he will do the rest. He will help us to arrive to the possession. Saint Augustine, when he's meditating in the confessions, the famous confessions of Saint Augustine, when he's meditating, it's been so long now, but I think it's around the second or third chapter, that he is thinking about this inclination to sin, and then he arrives to the conclusion, and he says, I have arrived to the conclusion that it is the human will, the root of all miseries. Oh, he mentions evil. So for Saint Augustine, the root of all evil, basically, is the human will operating by itself. And this is what our Lord is telling us. By departing from that union in a voluntary way, we brought upon ourselves all the miseries. St. Thomas Aquinas, his understanding of evil, he says, is the absence of something that ought to exist. And if we look at this in trying to understand the divine will, we see that if he says is the evil is the absence of something that ought to exist, what is missing in men? The divine will, because the divine will is something that ought to exist in men, to operate in men. Because this is what God wanted since the beginning, the divine will operating in union with the divine will. And since Thomas Aquinas identifies that evil is the absence of something that ought to exist, that absence, that something that has to exist in men is the divine will. So basically, we could say that all the acts that are not in union with the divine will, in some way, they are imperfect, no matter how good they are. Because that divine will that ought to exist since the beginning is missing. That's why I always mention also that as long as we live just by our human will, we will never be able to be just before God. We will always be unjust. Because God created Adam and Eve in the state of original justice or original happiness. What does that mean? That they were given to God what belonged to God at every single moment. They receive love. These divine qualities that he's mentioning here, they receive love. They gave love back. They receive beauty. They love God for that beauty that they received. They saw all creation around. They were able to say thank you. First of all, to recognize that out of love, God had created all of that for them. So by saying thank you, by recognizing, they were able to appease that justice, basically to give back to him immediately. They didn't know anything to God, and at every moment they were giving and receiving. There was no death involved. So as long as we continue to live, as long as man continues to live only by his will, separated from the divine will, then we will continue to live in miseries. But as soon as we call the divine will upon ourselves, in volume 34, I think, is where the Lord says that as soon as the creature calls the divine will comes and invests the creature, and then all the acts that the creature is doing. And this is what it means basically to live in the divine will, to begin that process, to begin that journey that will lead us to the possession of the divine will operating in us here on earth, so that we may be able to continue in heaven, giving this knowledge of bringing this new joy of happy and happiness to the saints around. Give me a second. I have to give you a reference. I mentioned that part of the Hours of the Passion. So now, let me see if I can find it, because I'm curious now. Oh, there we go. It's here in. Isn't the hours of the passion? It's in the third hour of the agony from 11 to 12. And before the conclusion of the agony, Elizabeth Caretta tells the Blessed Mother, let me give you that. She goes around and she says, let me give you that that blood also of Jesus to you. I want to give you this blood to you also, Blessed Mother, for your glory, says, so that your glory may increase. So this blood may inundate you with new light. And new happiness. So this is basically what the saints they receive in heaven every time we do acts in the divine will also. They are being inundated with new light, with new happiness. Only according to their capacity, indirectly. And this is the way God has is giving them, continues to give them new, basically, knowledge. He allows them to experience at every moment something new about himself. So in that way, they continue to grow in the knowledge of who God is. And this is what eternal life is. That they may know you, Father. This is what our Lord Jesus says. So eternal life consists in knowing God. That they may know you and the one you sent. So when we talk about Adam, he's one of the greatest saints because he possessed the divine will for a period of time. The Blessed Mother, of course, she's higher. Why? Because she didn't possess the gift for a period of time. She possessed it her whole life. So this is the mission of them now. To continue to give now to the creatures, I mean to the saints in heaven, what they couldn't receive here, and how blessed we are that we have this knowledge now here on earth. And the more we continue to know about this gift, the more we continue to exercise ourselves in this gift, to do our acts, the more capacity we will receive so that God may give, he may unleash this love one day in every one of us. So that now that divine love may not be repressed, but may continue to flow. I continue to flow, and from those souls, others will receive. That grace will flow continuously to others. And then others will come, that they will have even more knowledge, more capacity, and they will be above you. So if we understand this, we should be competing. Right? Because others may be above you. Always. Always somebody's going to be above you. Unless you really try to live in this way and you acquire that capacity. And our Lord also mentions this in the Book of Heaven, that And he says that there are levels. And some of them, they will possess exactly what the gospel tells us in that parable. Now the master came in the early hours of the morning to look for workers. And then he came at the second hour and a third, right? And at the end, everybody received the same. The payment here is the gift of the divine will. So let's ask our Lord Jesus to give us the grace to live in this way. Let us ask him to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that through the understanding of the gift that we have received through the Book of Heaven, we may advance in the possession of the divine will operating in us always, that it may be for the great glory and praise of God, and for the salvation of our souls, the good of the whole church. Let us ask our Lord Jesus to allow us to possess his will operating in us again, as he possessed it in his humanity, as the Blessed Mother possessed it, as Adam possessed it, that we may learn to live in this way, as Luisa Picarreta learned to do. Let's go to the lesson, I mean to the letter tonight.